Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sweet Discussions. And that was Witchy Woman by the wonderful and beautiful, talented Eagles. It was written by guitarist Benny Reedon and Mr. Henley himself. Don Henley and Bernie Reedon. Actually, Bernie started writing a song when he was a member of the Flying Burrito Brothers. They wrote it not to think of women as witchy, but to portray women more as seductresses. it actually came together more when Mr. Henley came down with the flu and was reading a book about Zelda Fitzgerald, wife of author Scott Fitzgerald, and her dealings with her husband's alcoholism and her own mental health problems. He thinks that figured into the mix, as well as his images of females and his bottles of whiskey mixes. Also, his lovely dating of the infamous white witch of the era, Miss Stevie Nicks. So that's a little bit of facts there about the little bit of witchy women as being the ultimate seductress. Well, tonight, our subject is Elphaba, the other side of the Wizard of Oz. Let's take it from her point of view. Is she wicked? Was she wicked? Is she the Wicked Witch of the West? But before we do that, I want to thank All Poetry and our little group inside of that, Miss Deborah Lee, who runs Team of Voices, which I happen to be a member of it, a little group of people that love to discuss poetry, talk poetry, write poetry, vomit poetry, and do all the things we can with poetry. And that is the fun side of what we do. And tonight here on Blog Poetry, I have the infamous and crazy, wonderful Sky, who knows anything and everything there is to do with this book by Greg McGuire, and she is full of information and poetry. And then on the line, I also have 443, and may ask is calling.
Sorry, it's Allie.
Hello, 443. Hi, Allie. How are you?
Better. How are you?
I'm doing well. I believe we have to cast a spell on some evil people your way, so that will be part of our wickedness tonight. I know that, Guy, I'm going to give you like 5 minutes to run with everything you have to say about this book and this play and everything else you want to say.
Oh, wow, that's a lot. Okay, I only have one thing to say.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I got.
Oh, I love that song. You know, I tried so hard to get that on the board, and every time I tried to download it, it says, "This cannot be copied. This cannot be copied. This cannot be copied." So if you figure out a way to get that into our studio, I will play that at halftime. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, my goodness. You're putting me to work? All right. I'll put it in the studio.
If you can do it, I'm all for it.
I'll do it for you before I head out. I love the books. I'm a big fan of Gregory McGuire in general. You know, I love Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister, Mirror, Mirror. I just read the one that was kind of like the, and I can't think of the Hindenstein one this year, which was really good. And then, of course, I don't know, there were so many. And then I read all the the Out of Oz series. I love them all. My least favorite was A Lion Amongst Men, but I did enjoy them. My favorite one was Out of Oz, and I thought it was a great series.
Awesome. And I know that you have a timeline because you do things with people, and so you have to do things with your life, and that's perfect. And oh, hold on, I'm going to answer 1111, and I believe this is my Sir Rackentor. Hello, Rackentor.
Hello.
How's my little male evil one, my flying monkey? So hi to Allie and Sky.
Hey.
I just wrote a flying monkey poem.
I know.
I have a organ grinder's monkey. I don't have a flying monkey.
Oh, I know. I love your organ grinder.
I went flying monkey book version, the original book, not the film adaption, which they didn't get the story quite right.
I was gonna say you could say they butchered it. You're entitled to your opinion.
Oh, no, I love the movie Wizard of Oz. I do, but they and Glinda was like three different people, and they made her all one person, you know. But she was actually they kind of put three characters into one character on Glinda, because she was actually the Good Witch of the South, not the North, and they took out the Queen of Mice, which is the one, the Poppy Fields scene. It's actually the Queen of the Mice who saves them. And then, of course, there was a Good Witch of the North, but she was a different character. But anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Gregory Maguire, which reinvented everything, which is, you know, which is pretty good as well. So,
yeah, we're talking about the Wicked Ways of Elphaba, which makes me very happy. I like Elphaba. Who wasn't the actual name of the witch in Wizard of Oz? That wasn't her original name. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I loved about that is that Elphaba got to have a son, Lear, and then he had this weird relationship with Candle, and then they had a daughter, Rain, and then they bring her in, and then even though Elphaba's long out of the picture, Glinda still looks out for Rain because of the friendship of her and Elphaba that was like kind of secretive. And I just thought the whole thing was just the entire – I love
very well
people
done.
It was wonderful, yeah.
I like how they go into the lands more, like the independent lands. Like you learn more about each of the group of people through Greg Maguire. I think he did such a fine job at that.
The Quaddling Country.
I really enjoyed that.
Out. Yeah, when he went into the Quaddling Country, you know how Elphaba's mother had that lover from the Quaddling Country?
Right.
I loved how his background story and like how, and they talked about how his lands got mined for the emeralds by the wizard, and they go into like pretty much how cruel he is, and the whole thing about animals and how, you know, he doesn't want them to talk, so he starts taking them out of positions of teaching and things like that, basically anything, you know, saying, oh, you can't teach animals. If the animals could talk, where he comes from here, they can't talk. So, you know, he's kind of saying, oh, no, you don't, he's trying to slip away all their rights. And really, Elphaba is the one fighting for the rights, and that's why she opposes him, you know. And it's this whole political thing, which I think is pretty cool what they do. But.
Well, I'm going to switch up on you, Sky, and I'm going to actually ask Allie to read, because she's probably going to have to skedaddle faster than you.
Oh, you lied to me.
If that's okay.
Okay.
I did lie to you.
Okay.
Just so that you know. So, Allie, I'm going to get yours up so you can read it. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Because I know that you're like young and all that kind of things, and we got to get you.
I stay up anyway.
I know, but I still got to get you to bed. That's my duty. I'm a mom.
She's being wicked.
I know. All right, Allie, you are
on. Okay. Since I wasn't even on there, I was yelling at someone for messing up my poem. But I said, I'm through with playing by the rules of other games. Let me explain. When I was 2, a doctor told me I don't have a good survival rate. When I was 7, I was diagnosed with autism. They told me I'd never understand things that neurotypicals do. When I was 12, CPS said it was just a game, and I called them. When I turned 17, I was told a gang would find me. I was told at 16 my mom didn't have hope for me. Well, I'm done playing by the rules of others' games. You can say you don't believe me, but I don't deserve to be cursed at. I'm tired of being told I need therapy. I'm grateful for those in ATOV. You see me for me and no one less. Butterflies aren't just butterflies. Autism isn't just autism. PTSD isn't just PTSD. Why can't most teens see me for who I am?
That's beautiful. So you don't have to worry about anything else. Just be tired of the games and start your own game. Who needs to play
I'm
anybody
about ready
else's
to.
Games? That's what
I
you have to do.
Into,
leave the game
I'm
now,
not
going
to go into
leave
full
the game.
Detail. But
yeah,
last week, I'm not going to go into much, but last week they started,
yeah.
like, cursing at me, and I was like, okay, you know, like, not doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Then earlier
nope,
today,
this is a happy time.
Yeah.
We're talking happy times. You're going to get happy
yeah.
things for your poem. I thought it was wonderful. I love yeah. the way you used the quote. I love how you interpreted it into your poem. You did very well. And now, Sky, let's give her a quick comment so I can get to your poem.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It's important to have a voice for yourself and to advocate for yourself. And many people have a hard time doing that. Whether people without zero type of social anxiety or anything prohibiting them or making it more difficult for them in any way, it is still very hard to advocate for oneself because where people are born, you know, bred, I would say, not born, bred to worry about other people's feelings almost above their own. But it is important to remember that you matter as well, and you have the right to advocate for yourself such as this. This is very well done.
Thanks.
And Rack, you give her a sweet, uplifting comment, and then I've got to get to Sky's poem because I got to get her out of here too.
I enjoyed your poem very much. I like your thought process, and I just want to say, unless it's medical or legal advice, don't ever let anyone tell you what you can or can't do.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. I'm going to let three people on the line, and then you are up, Sky. Hello, 503.
Hey, fam. This is Dave Prophet. How are you?
Hey. Hi. I'm good, Dave. How are you?
Well, fair to Midland, I guess. That's all I'll admit to.
Good. All right. Hello, 573.
Good evening. It's
Hello,
Minister.
573. Hi, Minister. How you been?
I'm good.
Good. That's good to hear. Hello, Deb.
Hello, my sweet.
All right, everybody, I've got Sky on the board, and she's getting ready to read. Hello, Sky, you're up. Dazzle us with your brilliance.
Thank you. I couldn't write you a new one, so I brought you one from 2012. I hope that's all right. I think so. This is called The Witch, the Wicked. With the sweat of emerald flesh, teeth claws of a Kershaw purr, she knew not she was wicked. Blood the first juice of her tongue, creation of unfaithful wanting song, her conception a deluded memory, a scandalous addition. And what of the savior of her birth? Fear, fear of retribution. She'd have been drowned in the sting of water, considered damaged by those cradling hands. The reflection of green in their eye. She aged friendless until time fondly sparked an unlikely find as two lives became enduringly entwined. Glinda, the witch, untitled Glinda and the witch united in one cause in a fight for civil rights against the Wizard of Oz. Soon they found themselves with opposing views as one gave away what was not hers. A father's gift, the favored sister's shoe, enchanted reflections, chased in silver glass beads, mirrored in the eyes of the witch's jealousy. But there was more to the story than anyone might have known, for the peddler never called father was a wizard in disguise. He, a true tyrant, with prejudice and the will to seek power. So secretly, two once friends turned on seemingly separate sides, sought tyranny's demise. But when the throne of city's jewel found alphabet in such plot, he sent a lost puppet made of string and coy innocence, the unwitting murderess who did indeed succeed, and with a lasting sting of water, the precious wizard was victorious in assassinating his own daughter. So when the witch, and so who is the witch, and who is the wicked? What lies have you been led to believe? For there are many deceptions and stories told in perspective, and not all are wrapped in spun glass ribbons of fantasy. End poem. And then, of course, if I may, we did put in fictions of the book, like when she's the when she bites the old maids that are trying to drown her in the water in the beginning of her, you know, when she's a baby, and so that the blood that she tastes first. And of course, going down with her mother's, the peddler, that was actually the Wizard of Oz that tricked her mother. I won't get into that. That's pretty rated, you know, R information, but that whole thing, and then I think everything else was self-explanatory.
Yeah. You are so brilliant when it comes to the story of Wicked and Greg McGuire's book and, you know, the whole idea of telling the story of Elphaba or the Wicked Witch, of, you know, her side of the world, of how this happened to her. And this poem is so detailed and literally something you can sink your teeth into or your teeth claws. It's just brilliantly done, and thank you for bringing it, and I am so excited. And I know that, you know, you and I need to get together and just do a series of Greg McGuire's books because we are such fans. But God, this is beautiful. I love the details. And what of the savor of her birth? And I love how you bring Glenda and the witch united in one cause, because they were actually, you know, we think of Glenda's good witch and Elphaba as the bad witch or the wicked witch, but they were actually, you know, college roommates, so to say, and they were good friends. And, you know, Glenda was always trying to, like, make over Elphaba and make her, like, the cheerleader and the happy witch, and it just didn't work out that way. And it was – the whole play is based on that. It's so much fun, and the rewrite or the other side of Oz is just kind of funny, and you look at them, their developing relationship, and find out that the Wizard of Oz is actually the Wicked Witch of the West – father, and he actually kills her, and it's got that dark, seeding, wicked thing about it, and I really love how you brought all of that in. Deb, your thoughts on that?
Well, for starters, I second your comment about her brilliance, especially when it comes to spinning stories into poems. I could easily believe, no matter what you read to me, when you do these Sky, I feel like it should have been, if it wasn't part of the movie, poetically expressed, then it maybe should have been, because you're that good at it. And then it leads me to, like, I wonder if your nieces and nephews stand a chance at bedtime when you read them stories, because they're so lulled in. I mean, it's just like you lull the reader in with your voice and your details, and your own passion for what you wrote all mixed in. And then, of course, I mean, I could just pick anything in the poem, so I figured I would go more with how you make me feel when you read one of your poems. I always feel enthralled in it, like you take me on a journey. So that's very, very cool and impressive.
Thank you, Deb. This one is, sometimes I do like fandom poems where I'll make my own story out of fictional pieces. This was a tribute to the book, so it was I didn't add anything in. It was very much a storyline. I didn't put Nessa Rose, which is Elphaba's sister, into it, but I did pay a little homage to her when she was given the shoes. But thank you, Deb. Thank you.
And Allie, your thoughts on that?
I think it was, like, really nice and kind of like what Deb said. Like, I feel like a lot of your poems always, like, leave the reader, like, wondering, like, oh, what's going to happen, like, next, because it's just so detail-oriented. And then, like, some of them, like, you don't want your poem to end because you get the reader so involved in it that when it ends, it's like, oh, I want, like, it just shocked the reader when it ends.
Great comment. And Sinister.
Here's the thing I like about Sky. Sky, you tell you read a lot, and you get these epic things. How you layer a story is exquisitely divine. I appreciate your ability to engage the reader with such lively pieces of work.
Thank you, Sam.
The Rockin' Tour.
Oh, my God. The thing I love about the way that you write, you don't just tell the story. You kind of take on the persona from the perspective of one of the characters. So you're giving us backstory, but you're doing it from, like, you know, almost character motivation, as if this was a stage or you know, a play, or, you know, I guess the way the character might have thought, the producer might have, you know, directed them in the movie. The producer, yeah, the director might have directed them on a movie screen. So, you know, the idea of the motivation and the interrelationship and the whys of what comes out. You know, you kind of pull the curtain back a little bit on that and, you know, make it informative as well as, you know, just beautifully told. So it's not just, you know, I won't even call it a synopsis, but just another slant on what happened. But it's with a little added, you know, perhaps, or, you know, thought to, nod to the creative process of what you actually just went through. So I really appreciate the way that you do that. It was beautiful.
Thank you, Rick.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Anything else you have to say about Elphaba, Wicked, or any last words you want to give us?
No. I'll be here all night. I can't get into that. I did put the Defying Gravity in the studio for you. It's Mark 00.
I love you.
Okay. It's all set for you. And I hope you have a good show, and thank you. Excellent topic. One of my favorite series.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Mine too. Bye. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Glenda.
Thank you, Glenda. All right. So, of course, now you got to listen to me about all of the witches in Oz and all the witches around. And this is Witches in Holy Water by me. The merchant sold his lion as a lamb. Her knife sliced a king, it roared. A witch's spell cast beyond hell's gate. Satan wept crimson stains of blistering rain upon her alabaster skin, turned her insides into ebony mush and colored her hair in devil's tail. The dragon breathes and towns burn, and she falls and she fails, spell after spell, to rise the cool waters, soothe the blisters eating her skin. Dare he, the keeper of the sisters, the masters of my coven, a crowned witch, a ruler among witches and wizards. Morning Star will feel her revenge. You will know the scratch of 10 fingers embedded in hamlet and organs of innocent children. Revenge comes with pinheads, warriors, and dusty chambers, colored in forget-me-not, blooms of orange, tipping in hues of red tones of hope. Drowned you in Georgia, now smell the holy water rancid on your flesh as my hounds eat at the balmy mess. I sit upon my throne and purr. Oh, boy.
Damn sweet.
So.
I remember this one because of that, the photo. You were crazy about that photo. And what an amazing title, Witch's Holy Water. Like, perfect. This is one of those ones you could go anywhere. I think I'll jump to number three, the dragon breaths and towns burn, and she falls spell after spell to raise the cool water to soothe the blisters eating her skin. I mean, the agony of the thought of the blisters eating her skin, and then how much it would hurt when the water hits, whether it's looking for relief or not. So, like, the visuals are creepy good. Morningstar will fell her revenge. He will know the scratch of 10 fingers embedded in hemlock and the organs of innocent children. That struck me last time. I'm like, damn, the girl's vicious. And I even put in my comment to the sister, you continue to prove week after week why you are the queen of darkness. This is brilliant. In heat, like fire.
Yes.
Great chick,
I got
sweet.
Thank God.
And Rock and Tour, hi. Sorry I missed your show. Do you want to comment for sweet?
Yeah, definitely. I think you showing that you know a little bit about witches. I always love the way you tell a story. And I don't know if this is part of the book or anything, but you know the irony, I guess, of the you know, to put out a fire with water and her not being able to stand the water, so you know, casting the water upon herself and everything else. I love that thought. But I mean, the whole poem and the whole idea of it is just brilliant. You know, you do have a twisted mind. I think that's why I took to you from early on. Who can't love that twisted mind? I love this story. I really do. And I like how you even managed to work a dragon into it.
Yeah.
Great comment.
Well, that
and
is
before
one of the
I get you another one, sweet, the Hatter's here to see you.
Yay! But it is definitely one of the reasons I picked this poem is because she can't raise the water to cool her flesh because she'll kill herself. Hey, Hatter.
Unmuted.
So, it is one of my, and that he will. Oz was definitely the keeper of the sisters, the master of the Covenant Crown. And she was the witch that should be the ruler among witches and wizards because the crown was in line to be, you know, she was the wizard's daughter. So she should actually have been the ruler of Oz in Wicked, but he sent to have her assassinated. So the poem really fits that genre. So hence why this was picked.
Cool. Yeah. So let's see. How about if we get a comment from Mr. Dave Prophet?
Well, I really like this, Pam. This was really good. I was just saying here in the comment that I left you, I like the way you took it. I like where you took this. I like the way you invent in your storylines. It's very unique. I also like the last, let's see, where is that now? Where did I see that? Oh, the second to the last stanza, it says, revenge comes with pinheads, warriors, and dusty chambers. I thought that was an interesting insertion of Hellraiser's chief bad guy, the pinhead, you know? That was pretty cool that you put that in there, you know? That was a scary, the whole series on that was pretty scary. But this is really well done. And you just really caught the gist of what everybody considers a witch, I think. And, you know, I think Deb said it. She says, witch is holy water. I thought that was really a neat title for it, too. Well done.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Sin, what you think of Sweet's poem.
You have to bow down to Sweet in her darkness, man. The crimson ebony. Colored and saturated and death and dismemberment and beauty. It's all done so beautifully. But it's twisted ass shit. I love it, Sweet.
Thank you.
And let me see here. I think Allie, I heard you read. You did great. Would you like to comment on Sweet's poem?
I typed the comment just now, but I really just liked, like, the details and the imagery in it. Like, it was a different type of, not different type of poem, but, like, more details in it than I've heard on the radio since I started really calling in and listening. And it was just very appealing to me to, like, be able to, like, actually see how, like, well, like, visually see, like, how the events played out, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense.
It sure does, and that's a great comment. And, my sweet, would you like your mic back? I don't think Hatter heard.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Hatter, I didn't mean to ignore you. I just don't think you were here in time to hear her read. Were you?
No, I did not. No, I wasn't.
Okay. Sweet, back to you.
All right. Yay, I'm all back. Yes. Okay. So, we are talking about Wicked, this side of evil, or non-evil, depending on which side of the world you're talking about. Let's see, who am I going to grab what evilness next? Actually, I'm going to, let's go with Dave Prophet. He was my next man in line, so I'm going to throw you up on the board there, Mr. David. Yeah. If I can figure out how to do this. Hello, Frank. I see you on the board. So I'm happy to see that.
Flying monkeys.
David Prophet. No, it's Frank. I'm getting David's poem up there, thinking David Prophet. I'm sorry, Dave. Dave, I'm loving your contest. I've rewritten and written this poem 3 times, so because I keep changing characters. So you got me all in my head. But there you go. You're on the board.
Well, it helps if I take myself off mute. Okay. Well, I hope I got, you know, the correct topic tonight. I don't know. When I was reading the little ditty about the show tonight, it said something about just writing something kind of scary. So I didn't know
you're right.
Know that.
Any,
I don't know
any
just,
state of evilness. Any.
Okay, all right. Okay, this one's called Different Shades of Gray. Okay, here we go. Strange foreboding in multiple hues. Witch of the achromatic. Chameleon in 10,000 shades. Soothsayer to the dogmatic. Guardian inside the pharaoh's tombs, cold draft inside the hypostyle halls. You can see her if you stand very still, coiling out of the hieroglyph walls. The eyes of Horus, their green malachite, green stare. You can see her now floating, gaze long into them, if you dare. For I have been an explorer within the great halls, the tombs in the Valley of the Kings, studying hieroglyphs on off ancient walls. She drifts up to me in shades of slate gray, her green eyes glowing at me. And she did, as she did say, who art thou, bold intruder? The princess in a crown of lower and upper Egypt, beautiful in her countenance, just inches from my face, features cut from stone, perfect as the lotus flowers in her boundlessness, sparkling green eyes with flecks of gold. She stares into my soul. I can feel her there looking, searching for anything to extol. Her slate-gray fingers engraved in veins of gold, tipped in a long obsidian nail, traces a line up my arm. Goosebumps, she creates her own braille. Her voice, a whisper dry like the Dead Sea Scrolls, rolls in and out of phasing 3,000 years from whence it tolls. Her braided hair, black as pitch blend, its synchrotron radiation glows in the gathering gloom, down from her perfect shoulders as the solar alignment leaves the room. She laughs, speaking, "We are alone, you and I, my 21st century man. Am I all you hoped for? I am more than you can stand." Her long stone fingers on the back of my head, thin black lips pressed, kissed me. She pulled away, gasping as my lips bled. I felt something inside of me, strange as it was. She receded into the past, saying, "You shall never forget me, nor this kiss." Now I dream of her every single night. End poem.
I hope it's a nightmare, David. Oh my God. Okay, you just gave me the chills. Okay. Oh my God. Just totally. Her slate gray finger engraved in veins of gold, tipped in a long obsidian nail, traces a line up my arm. Okay, that was enough. Okay, yeah. And then her voice, a dry whisper like the Dead Sea Scrolls, rolls in and out, gazing 3,000 years from whence it tolls, her braided hair black as pitch blend. She laughs, speaking, we are all alone. Okay, that is Goose Night, or Goosebump World. Yeah, and if anybody kisses me and they make my lips bleed, I better be the one biting. But no, I'm not going to be dreaming of some higher. No, that's not happening. See, this is what I mean. Are these women evil? Are you born this way? Do you just get this way? 3,000-year-old Egyptian princesses coming out of their tombs to have kisses? No, that would scare the bejesus out of me. But are they wicked? I don't know. But, yeah, that was quite scary. Great, great detail, though. Oh, wow. Who art thou, bold intruder? That's just beautiful. Rackus Horror, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this song. There's an idea surrounding, I want to say, the hieroglyphs and just the written word. And how it's kind of not so much backwards, but we're kind of going back to it with emojis and things. You know, we went from emojis to letters and writing things out and then abbreviations, and now everyone's going back to the emojis, which, you know, I would liken to hieroglyphs. So the study of hieroglyphs and that thought alone, you know, sends my mind, or at least whispers that in the background. So that gives us an interesting back note in my brain. Just from the start, without even getting into the details of your story, you know, the whole dig has kind of an Indiana Jones feel to it, you know, searching out a tomb and coming across, you know, the dead princess and the fingertips and whatnot. And, you know, the other relatable thing is, you know, dreaming about, you know, that kind of a kiss. You know, if it's been that long, that many years since you've been kissed, you tend to dream about the last one. So, yeah, I could kind of relate to that. but, you know, I thought it was great storytelling and a lot of darkness to it. It was wonderfully wicked.
Thank you. Thank you, Rack.
Yeah. And
Tim.
Let's see. I'm sorry, wait, hold on. Like, wait, blog talk. Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I know this is, you have some rhyme in here, right? It's not totally rhyme. Or is it?
Well, there is a line right down to the one.
Yeah, and my point being, you couldn't have picked a harder rhyming structure than trying to do this. You got storytelling, the descriptions stay online. I was sitting there thinking, once again, you couldn't have picked a harder rhyming structure. The story's there, all the words. I love the description of the princess in the crown of Lower and Upper Egypt. You gave not only sight, touch feel, but you gave distance and destination, which concludes the storytelling. This is well done. You tended to write longer ones, so I'd have to read it again to get really fatiguing. But yeah, this is well done, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you,
Adam. Yeah. And Deb, your thoughts?
Well, I'm with you, sweet. I think he went kind of deeply creepy in a couple spots. Specifically, I think you mentioned part of one of them. Where is it? Okay, the tipped in a long obsidian nail traces a line up my arm. Goosebumps. She creates her own braille. I'm like, whoa. Her long stone fingers on the back of my head, thin black lips kissed me. She pulled away, gasping as my lips bled. I mean, this is really dark for you, David. And then I felt something inside of me, strange as it was. She receded into the past, saying, "You shall never forget me, nor this kiss." But I'm thinking, I felt something inside of me, and you get these all these creepy images of you know, what could possibly be. I mean, this was deep and dark, Dave. Great share.
Thank you, Deb.
All right. And Sinister, your thoughts?
This is a myriad of imagery and emotion, very dark, very teasing, but it's an enjoyable read. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Deb, do you want to throw yourself up there?
Sure, I can do that. But is it all right if I just jump instead of throw myself? Do you know,
Yeah, that's fine.
The poem I'm putting on the board is marked adult, but I didn't mark it adult. And I'm fairly sure that the word bitch doesn't require
no,
an
you're
adult
okay.
label. So I put in a ticket. So I'm just saying, I mean, we don't usually allow the adult ones. I didn't want to. Anyhow, just a heads up, I didn't label it that way. And this is called You Say Witch Like It's a Bad Thing, which is actually one of the quotes that Sweet opted up for us tonight. And here we go. Bitch mode fuels every emotion tonight. Key is chugging the truth serum liqueur, calling me witch like it's such a bad thing. Puffing his pecs like a big red rooster. Do you hear that cock-a-doodle-doo? Sweat beads up on the brow, then drips. Lies cannot slip off his lips in the query. So the tails with his dirty laundry slips, and the dinner menu takes a giant twist. Then the wicked witch bitch button slips. Fingertips pinch the dehydrated finch, adding sweetness to this brewing drink, as the bubbles in the cauldron overflow, dragon's breath and kitten whiskers sink. Hound's tug and tarragon add spice steeped in wolfbane and hemlock root. So the poison potion travels in the blood, but gut rumbles in the intestines too. Earth holds bachelor button buttercups that sprout on the bark of the yew tree. Fire heats all the ingredients into syrup to lace the sugar cubes for the mint tea. Air is filled with the aphrodisiac perfume, luring him to stay as the potion simmers. Merlot is laced with ginseng and honey to sugar his sips and splurs. Dusk hits, then he oozes to puddled goo for poking the witch that brews the stew. And
Paul. Cool.
absolutely sunny. Earth holds bachelor button buttercups that sprout off on the bark off the yew tree. Fire heats all the ingredients into syrup to raise the sugar cubes for the mint tea. I like aphrodisiac perfume. I wish I would have thought of that. Dust hits the oozes to puddle boots for poking the witch that brews the stew. I love your details. I love how you tell a story. I love how everything is all witchy and good and beautiful and how you put everything together and it's just the perfect witch's brew and it all needs to be served to the awful wizard that says all these things are bad. And they say revenge is a dish best served cold. I say it's payback to a bitch who's a witch. I do love this.
Thank you, my sweet.
You
I love
very well.
Your bedtime.
I love bedtime stories. And I like dragon breath and kitten whisper steak. You have so many great lines in here that I could use them all. So the tells with his dirty laundry slips. That's a great line. God knows what dirty laundry does for us all. Because I know that if I put half of my dirty laundry out, well, everyone would know what kind of panties I wear, but that's a whole different show.
there might
and we can't do that
too.
On my show. Yeah, I get in enough trouble with running my mouth, and I should not do that. I just love that Earth holds bachelor button buttercups. That line just keeps coming back to me. Let's see. Ragged, who are your thoughts?
Well, I can't help but start with, if I ever meet you, we're going out to eat. I'm not going to let you cook for me. putting out, you know, that kind of recipe, I don't know. There's got to be something illegal about that. But I always loved that thought, that addition of like it's a bad thing. You know, you say I'm a witch or whatever you perceive it like it's a bad thing with, because, you know, that thought kind of stands everything on its end for me. And, you know, I like playing devil's advocate and thinking from the other perspective. And, you know, there are some times, you know, when it's brought out in you and, you know, it's not even necessarily intentional. It's almost like a defense mechanism. So being a bitch isn't, well, again, personal opinion, but whatever. I kind of can relate to that. And, you know, I've said before about reaping what you sow and things like that, you know. It's some people deserve to get kicked in the teeth for the way they act and what they do. So, you know, it's kind of a, you know, buyer beware thing. You got to know what you're getting into and how to handle the people you're dealing with, because otherwise you're going to pay the price. Like everybody mentions about the way that you write, the details that you offer up, you know, the bubbling of everything and the description of that was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, you know, the way that, you know, you kind of dissolved him from the inside out, and your imagination as to what went into the potion was fantastic too. You know, you got hemlock and all kinds of fun poisonous stuff, so I'm kind of grooving on it from a nerd foodie rest perspective of, like, you know, okay, this is kind of a recipe. So yeah, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it a lot, Deb.
That was a cool pickup. I actually did go and research ingredients for witches' spells and pick some fun ones. So it was legit. Thanks for noticing. I'm glad these guys liked it.
Yeah. All right. So we have Heavenly on the board. So I am going to grab her phone and her phone. I'm going to grab her phone. Hey, Heavenly, give me your phone. And give it a
Mike,
reading.
Don't you want her to listen?
No, I don't. and give it a read. If I can figure
don't
out how to do that. Excuse me. Good Lord. All right.
Maybe I've got you something, but look it over and let me know if it's okay.
As long as it doesn't have the F word in it, I think we're good.
Okay. No, no F-bomb.
No F-bombs, no language.
All right,
then
we're good. All right, then I'm happy. All right. Everybody, I did put that in the board, right? Okay. Here we go with Heavenly Angel, I think. That's on the board. You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. Stir up the bubbly brew, a little black cat, add gelatinous eye of frog, some tail of the dog, then wing of the bat, and hair of the rat. The wicked witch is looking for a victim tonight, with an angry, pockmarked soul, and a wicked desire to destroy all traces of a yellow brick road home. That girl has to be destroyed, and her tin kettle, whiskered, bird stuffed straw friends, before the magic and the mysteries of the jeweled ruby red slippers is discovered. The desire to destroy them is engraved upon her blackened sooty soul, a hot burning hatred that can't be satisfied until they're dead, like her sister. The potion is almost complete, dripping thick acid liquid, and the spoon she stirs with, that girl will wish she never ballooned here just before she dies. End poem. Ooh, I like that.
Great read.
Very well written. I really like this a lot. That was a lot of fun. Thank you, Heavenly Angel. I like it when you go wicked. I really do. I think it was so much fun. You just bring it. You bring the words. You bring the feeling, the guttural oomph to everything. And you just before she dies. I thought that was perfect, Rudy. Oh, what a story you weave. Thank you, Angel. What a great poem. Loved it. All right. Sinister, your thoughts about people just before they die.
I think that was a dark romp. It was a lot of fun to read. Enjoyed it, and you read it very well.
And Sinister.
Oh, I'm on mute. I was on mute. I already gave my comment.
No, you were. You weren't on mute. I'm an idiot. I meant Hatter.
I don't know if I'd go that far. Gosh.
I think you're drinking Angel's Potion. That's what you're doing.
That's what I'm doing. Hatter. Oh, hold on. Oh, Hatter's gone. I lost him. Hey, hello. Hello, hello. Let's say hello, everyone.
Hello, sweet. How are you?
I'm good. We're getting comments for Angel.
Oh, I can give a comment for Angel.
So. Oh, you can? Good. Tell me something.
Well, I love the image of the Wicked Witch, because the Wicked Witch just didn't get enough airtime in The Wizard of Oz, in my view. You know, they were there, they had presence, you know, they were green, they were nasty, and then all of a sudden the house appeared, you know. And, you know, for me, it makes perfect sense that Heavenly Angel would turn that around and just say, well, let's just get rid of Dorothy. Works for me.
God. Well, I liked it a lot. Let's see. Allie, your thoughts.
I said it's a very suspenseful but very interesting and very cool ending to a very simple and easy to understand poem.
Awesome comment. And David, your thoughts. Dave. I keep calling you David. Your name is Dave. I don't know why I keep putting the it on the it.
Well, that's okay. Deborah calls you David all the time, so that's fine. I don't care.
Right.
Well, I have to agree with what Allie said about this. It is easy to understand. And you don't have to you know, pull out your dictionary every other line here to understand what's going on. I think this is a classic write about the Wicked Witch, and I also agree with what AP said about the witch not getting enough airtime. You know, she's a pivotal character in the story, you know, and you know, they just sort of glassed over, you know, but anyway, the Wicked Witch is looking for a victim tonight with an angry, pockmarked soul and a wicked desire to destroy all traces of the Yellow Brick Road home. That's kind of foreboding in its own way. The girl has to be destroyed, and her tin kettle whiskered furred stuffed straw friends. Well, that's a mouthful. Before the magic and mysteries of the jeweled red slippers is discovered. The whole poem is just full of really cool phrases and you know, the way she used them all and put it together. Just, you know, Angel's a really a good poetess, and I really enjoy her work. And this is one of her best. So well done.
Awesome. All right. So next, I'm gonna have Sinister put up his. Sinister, where's your other poem, Sin? You need to put that one on the board.
Okay.
All right.
Just a second. Get back to. I'm down there in the bottom.
Oh, is it? I didn't see it. Yeah. Hold on.
I found a link I can give you.
Could I drop and run if that's
possible?
Oh,
you need to read and run?
Sorry.
Okay.
I do.
That's all right. AP's going to run. AP's going to...
I am going to run.
Fly and go. So yeah, we're going to let him read first. We're good with that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not a problem. Fly.
And
everyone has the right a chance to fly.
I'm in trouble because I haven't used the word bank, so I'm just going to say that up front. You know.
I don't have a word bank.
Knock me over and even better. So here we go. Here we go. Now, I just want to presuppose this. Ali, I don't sing every time I call, but I'm going to this time. This is Lord of the Trees, and goes a little bit like this. With all the calls being made now, yet you don't seem to understand. I could have stayed all calm, but I'm bristling with fear and mad. You know you can't answer forever. I am persistent, it's true. As friends concerned when woken, this man's too young to be flinging his shoes. So behind where yellow brick shows, where the mountain winds, they do scowl. The Lord of the Tree Penthouse, when others making a row. Back to the joy of birds in the wood, hunting Alice as the queens go. You confided there a future eyes, beyond where yellow bricks show. So what do you think you'll do then? I bet you wait for the rain. It'll take a couple of scotches neat to put you on your feet again. No, there ain't a replacement, just ain't another around. As mongrels with shiny pennies looking for more from you, all around. So behind where Yellow Brick show, where the mountain winds they do scowl, the lord of a tree penthouse, when others are making a row, back to the joy of birds in the wood, hunting Alice as the queens go. You've confided there a future rise behind where yellow bricks show. In poem.
All right, bravo. I'm always happy when AP comes to sing on my show. It's awesome. Nice, nice rendition of Yellow Brick Road. Yes, the knight would be happy, Sir Knight Elton, or Nelton Knight John. I'm not sure how his knightship works, but very well done. And I will take a couple of scotches neat, and we'll talk about our journey on the Yellow Brick Road. I will see you in the Emerald City, sir. Yes. Mr. Raconteur, your thoughts?
Oh, the end of the road. I enjoyed it, AP. I thought that was really clever to bring, you know, Yellow Brick Road to the Wizard of Oz. That was... I don't remember the lyrics to the original song, if it was intended to be that, but, you know, the direction you took it was great. You know, the whole journey was, you know, beginning to end lovely.
Thank you, Rick. Cheers.
And Allie, your thoughts?
It was really nice. I think I kind of agree with Finn. Like, it was hard for me to follow at times, but I think that's just because I got so into the singing of it that I kind of spaced out sometimes on some of the words. But then at the same time, as I said on the board, like, the singing is energizing, which is a really cool thing, but probably a really bad thing when it's 11 or 8 at night and I'm not tired yet. But
you need to go to bed, young lady.
Maybe she's in a different time zone and it's only in the afternoon there.
No, it's
well,
not.
No, it's nighttime.
Thank you, Alex.
She's not. It's late. I know she needs to go to bed. I'm being a very bad mom type. No, great comment, darling. And Mr. Prophet.
Oh, this was great. I just heard one similar to this the other night. I think it was on Deb's show, the last show I was on with Deb, and AP did the same thing. He wrote his lyrics to the poem to fit the music, and that's difficult to do, I can tell you right now. That's not easy to get the phrasing right, and rhyme and meter right on it and all that stuff. But this was really fun. I thought it was really, really cool the way you blended it into this other storyline here, and it's interesting. It's really well done. So, thank you, AP. This was fun. I enjoyed it.
Pleasure, Dad. Thank you.
And Deb, last word, my darling.
Deb. For one, I'm so bummed that had her hung up, I would have loved for him to get to hear this. And I know that it's all really hard to rewrite songs, and you've done so many, AP, that you really do nail the original pattern and sounds and stuff of the song. And I like the little subtleties throughout that when Sweet reads it again later, she's going to see some of those hidden I don't think connotations are the right word, but you know what I mean. But even down to the, you know, the reign of replacement, and I mean everything. It just, it's actually quite brilliant. The Lord of the Tree Penthouse. I mean, yeah. There's some inside stuff going on too. So it's like you're really good at putting stuff that you can look at face value and then find out later all the other interesting things that are going on too. Quite clever.
Thank you, Dave.
Allie, it's 11 o'clock at night. You need to go to bed or your mom's going to call in and be very unhappy with me. Sinister, if you want to comment, and then I have your poem on the board for you.
All right, cool. I'll put it up there. You know, like I typed on the board, how am I supposed to follow that? Like Dave said, that's not easy to do, to write to music and then harmonize the entire poem and tune. I've only played with music once with one of my pieces, and my hat's off when someone can do it and do it well. Good job, AP.
All right. Awesome, AP. And yeah, I know there's some subtle things in there, but I only have an hour show, so I absolutely said there, you know, my Lord in my comment for a reason, as you know.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah.
And I will disappear back into the forests of Oz and have a great show, and we will talk very soon.
Take over the world, sir, as you do well.
Yeah, we'll try.
All right.
One country
at a time.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Later.
All right, AP, you are up on IAP Sinister. I really have to not. I got to stop drinking while I'm trying to do these shows.
It happens. It's cool. All right. this is my goal, but there's no language in it. It's just in your face raw. My quote I took is, I'm not commotion, I cause it. This is called induced psychosis. Neonepotic to narcissistic nightmares, openly obstreperous as the odium that is on, lie sideways. Opiate-laced portraits of motel rooms, bottled visions, and snarled by smoke delusion, sinking malice-driven and festering, semi-comatose, reducing violent paranoia sleep, laden incursions of self-defeat, harvested under blood moon to expose demons by the droves, box cutters and throats, as if to shed pubescent derailment some 37 and change years later, I was, am, shackled with deplorable obstacles of I, dissecting cranium. Like cotton soaked to flame, hypodermically medicating myself into strawberry fields of daisies laughing, my failures sowing seeds. Desperately grasping onto the shambled lying horror of life lived inside broken-headed insights of spoiled intelligence, overburdened diligence. These simple thoughts that strike eureka moments, remembered, forgotten, or insanely ignored, dead dial tones. Rewind the answering machine of reason, deleting stipulations. Procrastination and self-doubt are atomic explosions to cerebral cortex that once shone bright. Lucid rant, superior in image are far more than allowed in peace.
Damn, Sin. Just damn. Damn you. You bring the thoughts of our insecurities and bring them right into our faces and say, stop, just stop. Procrastination and self-doubt are atomic explosions to cerebral cortex that once shone bright, lucid rant, superior in image are far more than allowed. Really. Atomic explosion to cerebral cortex. Why are you allowing them? Why? Why do you listen to such stupid rants? Because we allow them. I just, There's the other Box Cutters and Throats says, if you shed pubescent derailment some 37 and change years later, I was, am shackled to deplorable obstacles of I. You know, sometimes I think you, like, crawl into my brain and you're like, hey, this is sleepy. I'm just going to write this stanza for her. Because, yeah, I just add 56 and some change, and I'm still shackled to deplorable obstacles of I. Because somewhere, some way back when, somebody said, you suck. So I sit there and I suckle on that tit of stupidity, and I block myself from moving forward because somebody somewhere 50 years ago said, you can't. So I stand there, and I'm just sitting there, and I say, you can't, because of something someone said to me 50 years ago, because I'm shut those deplorable obstacles of I. You are so raw and so real and so talented that I just embrace what you say so deeply, and I applaud you for your ability to stand up to your demons and say, here you are. Screw you all. And I love myself into strawberry fields of daisies laughing my failures. Well, hey, I'm laying right next to you and my, you know, little dandelions and whatever magnolias of sweet smells that smell as rotten as, you know, calla lilies after a funeral. But there they are. Just beautiful, insane things that keep coming back to me going, hey, remember the Cali lilies? Yeah, we're just popping up everywhere. Still smell like graveyard. Just brilliant metaphors. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. All right. Got to say. Deborah Lee, your thoughts.
I say, wow. I actually remember this one because it was so... as I put it in the bottom, in the face awesomeness. It's hard-hitting. It's multi-award-winning, one of which came from Purple Chaos, and she's a tough judge, so getting gold is, like, easy to see why, though. The phrasing, narcissistic nightmares, semi-comatose, reducing violent paranoia, sleep, latent inclusion, self-defeat, it just... Wow, what was that? Like cotton soaked to flame, hypodermically medicating myself into strawberry fields of daisies laughing, my failures. It's like, oh, it's just no holes barred, metaphor packed brilliance, really, really awesome shares. And I already have it on my list, or I would have put it.
Thank you, Deb. I appreciate that.
And Dave.
Boy, this was really cool. I just love the whole thing. I don't have a favorite part of it because it's all favorite to me. let's see. A couple of these stanzas stood out. Reducing violent paranoia, sleep, laden incursion of self-defeat, harvest under blood moon to expose demons by droves. That's cool. Very, very illustrative right there, I think. As if to shed pubescence, derailment some 37 and change. Years later, I am shackled to deplorable obstacles of I. I really like that last line. That last line in that stanza, deplorable obstacles of I would have never thought to use that. But I thought this was really, really an interesting poem. It really grabs onto you and says, hey, pay attention. This is really good. Way to go, Finn.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that, man.
Sure.
And Racky, sure.
Yeah, I really enjoy this I want to say it's kind of a combination of philosophy and introspection because, you know, sometimes when you look at yourself, you say something that's kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek or you know, biting, but it's rooted in the reality of what it is that you're seeing, and it's not always easy to see what's really in front of you. So, you know, I really appreciate it for that. And, you know, the way you say, A lot of the metaphors that you use are just, you know, very catchy and poignant. You know, I apologize, I can't really quote most of it, but I mean, it was beautiful the way that you did it, because, you know, it made sense. It was like, you know, you put it out there as to, like, you know, this is what's going on. It's almost like a descent into madness, but, you know, you're managing to tread water, so you're not crazy yet. And you can see what's really going on, and it's tough to look at, but you're willing to look at it, and you know, that's, to me, what makes it so great.
I appreciate that.
My
yeah.
matter that matters. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Sin.
It's cool.
No, finish your comment. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You've all said something about different lines, and that's one thing I love about poetry and push myself so much on, is finding a total abstract, at the wall way to describe. And I don't know about the crazy yet, because they tell me I am.
I'm not crazy. I was tested.
All right. And Hatter That Matters, would you give the last comment, and then I have you on the board.
Okay. Yeah, Sinister. I remember this also. This is when Sinister was on fire. The way this is structured, you know, I've always said, Sin, you've got what Rhyma Rhyma has. I don't know if you know Rhyma Rhyma, but Rhyma Rhyma is a natural poet. He does the long line rhymes that just click in my head. You do the same thing. This is well thought out. Yeah, I'm fire, man.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it.
And I was trying to find another one that had Alice and Dorothy in it. I can't remember the title, because I'm not happy with this one, but I'll go ahead and read this one. Hello, anybody there? Okay. Poems rhyme sometimes. Whispers scream on the road to the great Oz. Road signs read upside down, following the storms across the valley of spores. Girls that lose their way are different today. The path they follow is always gold. Pointed thumbs take trips, though not planned, wearing sticker places she's never been before. Dreams that follow turn right and left to a place she's only heard before. While sending notes she didn't write, her legend is never forgot. She leaves in haste to a simpler place, with all the things she bought. Poem rhymes sometimes in lines, but free cannot be this time. I tried to go free. Ended up rhyming.
Aw, you always try to go free for me, a little sweet pea, and it never quite works for you. But I like that you try. I love this. But all girls don't follow gold. Sometimes they follow Hatter, like me. Because I follow Hatter.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, sometimes I do. I said that not all girls follow paths of gold. Some just follow Hatter, like me.
Oh.
I follow Hatter. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Dave, what do you think of poems that Hatter can't go free verse on?
Well, I haven't read very many of Hatter's stuff that was free verse, so, you know, that's fine. Hatter has a very unique way of writing, and I recognize his work all the time. I love it. It is very enchanting and magical, and this one here is no different. I thought this one was marvelous, and he says so much in such few lines. You know, it's a study in concentration, I think. But I really like this poem. I thought it was wonderful.
Thanks, Dave.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
And Sinister? Back again.
All right. Well, I don't know if I should read what I wrote in my comments, but I found this very enjoyable. Put a smile on my face. Thank you.
And Rockin' Four.
Oh, I think it wouldn't be the same if you didn't rhyme it. To me, it kind of adds to it, the cadence of it, the flow. And when you pull out things like sending letters that she didn't write, sending letters that she didn't write? Was it letters that you said? However you phrased it, you know, that always puts a lovely spin on things, you know, because the contradiction, the juxtaposition of a thought like that. It's like just because someone sent you a letter doesn't necessarily mean that they wrote it, you know. Think thoughts like that really make you dig into things a little more than just on the surface and give it depth that otherwise it would lack and make it a little flat. So between that and the rhyming, I really enjoy the poem. This is great.
Absolutely. And hold on one second.
Go free, Hatter. Go free.
You guys hear me struggling?
3-7. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am good. I was stressing out. So sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's okay. I'm so glad you're here. I'm just about ready to play K. Can you hold on so I can play her, and then I'll come and talk to you forever?
Sure.
Or do you have to read and rhyme?
No, I'm here for the duration.
Okay.
Hey, sweet. I'm going to log off if that's good with you.
That's fine. Thank you for being here, Allie. I really appreciate it. We had fun with you.
Thank you.
All
night,
right.
Allie.
You have a good night. Go to sleep. Everybody say good night to Allie.
Night, Allie.
Good night to Allie.
Good night, Allie.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, Allie.
All right. All right, here goes Miss Kay.
Crescent damp cuttings, edged, embroidered. In places of beans, by Kay. On the crest of a dispassionate gray, cinereal and salt and pepper, frost-covered anew, primeval, rooted in the past, somber as its ash, bluster and pelts upon stone, sunlight abounded, aggrieved and conscience-stricken, lacrimous. The gold grace and aura, linen and stacks of red flame, smoke, wildfires of bones, spots in the furnace. A coal stove, unlit and rapid oxidation of kindling brush fire. Her feet, scorching land, stained veneers. Woodlot undergrowth, busquets, the copsewood. Beyond the black stump, no man's land, brambles, with no blemished tongues. Shall speak and punk.
Oh, I really like that. That is beautiful. I love Beyond the Black Stump in No Man's Land brambles as no blemished tongue shall speak. This is really great, Kay. I mean, I like the whole idea of her owning the entire forest, like the wildflowers, the bones, foxes in the furnace, a cold stove, everything just being around her being flames, she being the center of the flame, the source of the flame, her feet scorching land, sting, Woodlot Undergrowth, just everything about her being the flame, yet she causes nothing to burn, nothing to, unless you get too close, you misbehave or you do things that are very, very bad, you know, but she's the oxidation of kindling brush fires. No blemished tongue shall speak. I really love that line. Great lines. Just artistic and beautiful and fiery. I really do. Very well done. Miss Pretty Bird, you're the first new one, so we'll give you a role in this. What do you think?
I love her verbiage, first of all. Scenario as in gray matter. It's upon the crest of the dispassionate gray, which to me automatically brings like storm skies and winter skies and things like that. But that scenario in salt and pepper, frost-covered annihil, and that is brain matter and losing your mind. And what a lovely kind of fold of words to display such a painful place. Primeval and rooted in the past, somber is a ash, blustering petals on stone. That is gorgeous. But it's the next line, sunlight abounded, aggrieved and conscience-stricken lachrymose. I've always loved the word lachrymose. I have a thing for words, if you all don't know. And she just twists them in this kind of delicate verbiage that, and her soft voice, but these are very powerful, painful, jagged emotion, and it's kind of like a wolf in sheep's clothing. So I find that to be quite excellent.
No.
You still with us, sweet? Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I am. I'm here. I'm listening. What about you, Mr. Dave? I think Mr. Dave was. All right, what about you, Mr. Akintor?
I had a hard time hearing, but from what I heard, I really liked it, especially the kindling line. And, you know, I almost sort of say the idea of poetic justice fits in, you know, not being able to speak, however she put it, with the tongue, that thought stayed with me as well, because, you know, to me that's, you know, kind of how it should be, that idea of the poetic justice behind a thought like that. But the whole piece resonated with thoughts of that, between that and the kindling, you know, she's what ignites it. If your intentions are good, then nothing bad's going to happen. But, you know, once you, you know, kind of step outside the box, you're going to get burned. You're going to get what you deserve. You know, fate's going to step in. So, you know, that's a great thought. And she said it beautifully.
Absolutely. And Sin, your thoughts?
That is the way a word bank is supposed to be used. make it your own and entice the reader to follow along. I love word banks. I like to do obscure word banks. But that was exceptional, right? Enjoyed it very much.
Okay. Sin, I'm going to let you read the first poem you put in, but you got to let go of the F word.
Okay.
Because my young one is not here. So put that up, but lose the F word. And the other word, I got to message you and make sure you don't use that one. Okay, there's two words in there you can't use. I'm going to private message. I got to private message you and tell you can't use those two words. So you can leave them written out. Just can't say them on the air. Those are the two PG-13 ones I can't have you say. Okay?
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to look for it. I definitely know what one of them is, but I don't see the close to you about what the second one was.
I sent them to you.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
That makes just like no, this like makes us no fun.
I know, but that's it, dude.
Yeah, I could do that. Put the link up. All right,
but I'm going to let Pretty Bird bring hers first.
Okay.
All right,
that's
okay. Pretty Bird.
Okay,
Sin can go
with it.
Okay, Sin, she wants you to go.
Huh?
Yeah, Pretty Bird, you're going to go first.
Do I have to?
No, she wants you to go first, Sin, so let me put you up there.
Yeah.
But I had to wait till someone went to bed. But
Beep.
Those are still the two words I can't say. You can't say on the radio. It's like the seven words George Carlin told us about. Okay? Just the way it is. Oh, sorry, Frank. I was getting to you. Don't go. All right, there you go, Sin.
Okay. This is Thoughts During Breakfast. Dashing synapses careen into brick walls profoundly. Serendipity is false intuition for the half-witted. Marauded 10 deep by Nazi midgets on dope, they always said life can only give what gives you. Spend timeless nanoseconds in nude retrospection, brightening the tenor of Dante's circle catcalling. Flip foreskin on a mind's nebula through a ring finger. Find yourself tapped into some bizarre stutter vision, Teletubby dead, hack of a retard poet strung out from years on below, sneakers tread worn like red tape monologue, nosebleed. Humanity ensnared in this pseudo-panache of excess, wipe my ass with counter-alien board terrorists. What's red? Patriotism dead. Peel open cereal boxes hoping decode Sunday's funnies. Neighbor once again cornered up for money, tacky minstrel abrasions of sexually transmitted homesteads, such liquid vapors, pinched nostrils, and blood taste buds, purple lead. Superhero nausea. Silver screen enigmas only brought vacancy and glows. Abandoned phone booth riddled in hypodermics and bad jokes. It's the kryptonite of ammonia, and you're all addicted. Sniffing thin nitrogen gases of bulimic troposphere. Armageddon slide. Say goodbye to false belief. Your time is here is divine. Stumbled at the fairy gate to accumulate such a fare. Karma taxes the unfortunate for all the upper echelon's affairs. To sign the permission slip and triplicate, join the herd, slitting wrists. Social hysteria births fanatical rendezvous of pleasurable fears. End peace.
I forgot one. That was awesome, by the way.
I didn't. I forgot about it too.
You're brilliant, and you know better. I just you're freaking awesome. This is great. I wanted you to read it because I read it and I thought it was brilliant and raw and in your face and just. Again, you set me off my feet. You take on issues and you're like, hey, pay attention. This is what's going on. Don't be dumb. You know, we have this thing and we tend to turn a blind eye on everything and we don't focus and we don't listen and we just think, you know, yeah, whatever, it'll go away. We don't have to pay attention. And we literally do just, I love peel open cereal boxes hoping to code Sunday's funnies because that's what we should be doing. I mean, why bother with anything else, you know? Alien border tariffs, you know, pseudo-psycho, this. We're just, I love Teletubby dead, by the way. That cracks me up. Because, like, you know, we are right now in Dante's circle of hell, you know, but we're all just sitting there going, oh, hey, whatever, what's going on with the world? We don't care. Let's just, you know, you know, talk about it, and life is life, and let everybody else die around us, and who cares? We don't have to really, like, I love superhero nausea too. You just have that raw power as a poet to bring things front, right, and talk about what's real and what should be talked about, and what is more important than your average politician or your average anybody. And personally, I think all your stuff should be like plaster on billboards, because I think that people should pay attention to what you have to say. And I really think you're brilliant. Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
Thank you very much.
Karma taxes the unfortunate for all the upper echelon affairs. That line, I mean, that's a true trickle-down effect, and the only trickle-down effect I ever get, so, you know, but that is just a snapshot of the how the world works, isn't it? You speak with enforce. There's a power behind your words, because they are true. We get true, but true. And it almost gives me this feeling of, and please do not take this the wrong way, it's just the best analogy that I can come up with. You remember that scene in Clockwork Orange where they're flashing all the pictures in front of his face and his eyes are wide open like this? It's
yep.
Like it kind of hits you, like that, because it's this one after this one after this one after this one, all of these truths that you kind of force people to look at, or you plant that little seed in passing, and then it hits them later. And either way, they're sitting there staring at these little peeled back little snippets of views of the world, and that's a very powerful thing. And it's kind of why I love words, because they can do so much. And that line, especially, there are so many good lines, and you caught your word, and I had to giggle, because I would have gone right over it and been like, oops, my bad, and so I couldn't help but giggle. But I, you know, heck of a retard puppet. Now, while that is not you know, PC,
politically
that is
correct. Yeah,
that is you know, strung out from yours on blows. That whole thing. It's just like, well, ain't that how it goes? So I'm kind of in true appreciation of your view of society at large, because you are spot on, darling.
I don't ride the train.
Yeah.
Let's
and raconteur your thoughts.
Yeah, I think this is an excellent example of the way to turn a phrase, which you really excel at. You hit me in the beginning, and I'm annoyed that I don't remember the first line that kind of grabbed me and made me chuckle a little bit. But it was just above the pseudo panache, which is another phrase that just it's so perfect. And then, you know, midget Nazis and just little things like that, you know, politically correct or not, you know, the emphasis of the thought. That's how something like that, I think, should be used. It's the fact that it gets overused that everyone jumps all over. Oh my God, you know. But when you use it the way that you did, you know, I think it works, because you know it calls attention to it at the same time. It's kind of like underscoring or highlighting it, but you can't do that in speech. So that's to me how you do it, and you do that brilliantly throughout this whole thing. You know, each thought that you're kind of hammering, it's like, you know, a little individual nail until it's finally embedded in the board that it's never coming out, you know. So you really have a way of making a point that is very memorable, and I really enjoy how you do it, because your word choices, like Pretty Bird said, you know, I like words as well. So when you string together things like, you know, pseudo panache, it's like, oh my God, that's perfect. It's perfect. it's got tongue in cheek, sarcastic, and it says what it's supposed to say. And you know, stop playing. Great piece.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. I have Frank on the board. So we're going to throw up Franklin. And if you are ready, I will play Frank, here we go.
I cannot explain the simplicity of words of what I have become. A sinister caricature of the worst abominations of all mankind. From the deep depths of the pits of a fiery brimstone he has risen to cause destruction and demise to my remaining sanity intact. I ponder at night during my dreaded episodes of delirium such horror. Will I ever be able to tame the wild fervor of the beast lurking in me? Can I control the wicked impulse to kill again with absolute indifference? Shall I yield to the erratic madness of his profligation uninterrupted? For a whole decade I've eluded the ultimate capture of my detention. I've continued my seductive game of daring deceit and calculations, exploiting my keen wit and ability to pose as a dapper gentleman daily, whilst the world of the Victorians gasp in horror at my devilish deeds. I murder because I delight with the wonderful whims of empowerment, and I profit mightily from the loan inheritance of property and estate by which I have usurped such a masterful connivance of a genius. Yet the risk of my exposure will be irreversible and lead to my downfall. The imp of the perverse is a familiar name to the common ego, but is a thought-provoking man to behave as a ruthless animal, not as the mere man of reason and human comprehensibility. I am the prime example of a deviated perversion unleashed. There is no passion in nature so demoniacally impatient as that of him who, shuddering upon the edge of a precipice, thus meditates a plunge. Who am I still dare to ask? I am you, the face of your demon.
Can we hear the giggling?
That was bad.
Sometimes I don't know what he's done. God. I think we're done. Sometimes I'm afraid to interrupt Frank. He might come back and giggle at me. Oh, it scares me sometimes. It does. You think I'm kidding. I'm not. Oh, excellent, Frank. Excellent. Oh, good. Excellent poem. Oh, I ponder at night during my dreaded episodes of delirium. Such horror. Will I ever be able to tame the wild fever of the beast lurking in me? And can I control the wicked impulses to kill again with absolute indifference? I don't think you can. I'm just saying, I don't think you can. You just enjoy it. The wild impulses, the scariness. Oh, master of, oh, you are a master of reading these poems, writing these poems. Just incredible. Who am I? Who am I? You still dare to ask. I am the face of your demon. Well, I don't know about that. Kind of got a cute little face to be my demon. But, okay, I'm going to give it to you. You are. You're the face of my demon. You make me shudder. Oh, good, good read. Great poem. Thank you for bringing it. You do rock. Sinister, what do you think of the mad genius, the mad murderer?
I think that was, you know, that was badass, for one reason, to say that. Frank has developed in his spoken word artistry so much over the course of me hearing him. It's impressive. That was impressive. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Very much.
And Racketeer.
He does a great job. I kind of liken it to when you're reading a book to a kid and you're putting the voice to the character, you know. He really gets into that, and it's very much in line with the story that he's telling, the darkness, and that trademark cackle.
That cackle. Oh, absolutely. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, I have to say, you rarely see the word demoniacally, which is a lovely, lovely, lovely word to use to express that kind of devilish way. The Imp of the Perverse is a familiar name to the common ego, for it is the thought-provoking man to behave as a ruthless animal. I mean, I think that speaks more to the id than the ego, but absolutely that primal pull of lasciviousness and no shit's given, that do what you want to do because it feels good and F all y'all. And there is no passion in nature, so demoniacally impatient as that of him who's shuddering upon the edge of a precipice, thus meditates the plunge. And you know, that's a powerful thought to be at that place, you know, that kind of soulless line between this and that. And with that giggle, which isn't a giggle, it's that maniacal laughter that kind of resonates in your head when everything is said and done, staring your demons in the face. You know, it was very entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. All right. My darling Pretty Bud, you are up with all of your glory and sensationalism. You are the last poet of the night, because I saved the last for last.
Well, there is that. Well, okay. Pick Oz or Id. Your choice. It is not wicked.
I don't care. I'm not picking because I want it all. So have Sinister pick.
Somebody pick Oz or Id.
Id.
What are the options?
Oz or Id.
Id.
Okay. I can learn how to work my computer with my funky eye.
There was a comic strip, The Wizard of Id.
That's kind of perfect. Okay, this is It Is What It Is. And it's up with this. Carnal in cardinal sins, bones burn through porcelain skin unseen, choking on the stink of it, justifying needs as pleasures and guilt. Every cell pulled further into the prime with each breath as the living feeds the demise, consumed as demons build liars, leeching logic through the foundation of egos, tuned to whatever is left of superpower memories of right and wrong. Carbon dioxide turns a compass to carbon fiber midnight frozen in place, saying that morality still flows beneath the crust of all that says. It sold a smile to feed the ego, justifying all it consumes, turning breath into a cage where the truth you seek floats on the ghost of practice.
Wow. Cardinal and cardinal sins, bones through porcelain skin unseen, choking on the stink of my knees as a pleasure sadly, guilt. Okay, that's all I needed to read, and there you go. That's as evil as it gets. Mm. Gosh. You are like the queen of the queens of the queens, and as living feeds the demise. I don't know. Yeah, I like that you put praying in here somewhere. Like, that's going to do something for anybody in this world. Go ahead and pray. Ain't going to do any good. Just so you know.
Everybody's daily struggle with queen, you know, what you should do, what you actually want. Try to stress a little bit.
I love that. All the way, she's going through consume, chewing, carve, and die. Pray. Okay. I love it. You do bring in hope. You bring in hope. Close on the ghost of cracked porcelain. But there's hope. There was praying. There was hope. Oh, yeah. I love you, girl. Oh. Sinister, your thoughts.
Oh, I'm muted. There we go. I thought that was really cool. It got under your skin. The way you read, it exemplifies it. Beautiful piece. Enjoyed that all.
I'm a rocking tour. Please tell me.
I mean... The thing that you do, one of the things that you do that I love so much is the way you can embrace an image and mock it at the same time. You know, talking about porcelain skin or praying in a situation where, you know, obviously it's not going to do anything. Well, I shouldn't say that because, you know, that's the whole question of faith, I guess. But, you know what I'm trying to say. It's like, yeah, you hang on to that belief. Idea behind it, the feeling behind it that just drags out the emotion. That you're efficient for, or at least I think you are. I always appreciate the way that you do that, and you know, it's not always an easy thing to do, yet you make it seem so effortless. So again, I love you.
Love you back. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, time for me to say all my thank yous and all my wonderful thank yous. So first off, let me thank Sky, Allie Sunshine, Dave Prophet, Mr. Sinister. Thank you for your brilliance and coming along. Deborah Lee, Raconteur, always. Thank you for always being in my shows and being my solid support. I couldn't do this without you always being there. AP and Heavenly Angel, Miss K, Mr. Frank, Mr. Hatter Matters, and, of course, my ever sidekick, Miss Pretty Bird. You guys rock. I can't do this show without all of your support and all your genius. You guys are the best of the best. I really do appreciate it. So that was the wicked side of the Wizard of Oz, the wicked side of Miss Sweet Pea. And I'm going to throw this out tonight, ending it with the original Defying Gravity from the original Broadway cast of Wicked. Thank you guys very much for joining me. I adore you. Love and respect from me, Sweet Pea. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful night.
Good night.
Good night,
Steve. Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys.
Bye. Good night. Elphaba, why couldn't you stay calm for once instead of flying off the handle? I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy now. I hope you're happy how you hurt your cause forever. I hope you think you're clever. I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy too. I hope you're proud how you would grovel in submission to feed your own ambition. Although I can't imagine how, I hope you're happy right now. Elfie, listen to me. Just say you're sorry. You can still be with the wizard, what you've worked and waited for. You can have all you ever wanted. I know, but I don't want it. No, I can't want it.
I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game. Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time to trust my instincts. Close my eyes and leave the time to try to find. You can't pull me down.
Can't I make you understand? You're having delusions of grandeur.
I'm through accepting limits, 'cause someone says they're so. Some things I cannot change, but till I try, I'll never know. Too long I've been afraid of losing love, I guess I would. Well, if that's love, it comes at much too high. Come with me. Think of what we could do together.
I'm limited. Together we're unlimited. Together we'll be the greatest team there's ever been. Glenda, dream the way we planned them. If we work in tandem, there's no fight we
choosing this.
You too.
I hope it brings you bliss. I really hope you get it and you don't live to regret it. I hope you're happy in the end. I hope you're happy, my
good night, everybody.